The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
All right, here's what you need to know today. Start the day off with Harvey. Who's Harvey? A storm that is about to pummel Texas. All week we've heard this could be a major hurricane. Category 3 and above qualify as major. The last time that the United States had a major hurricane make landfall was 2005. You might recognize that as being 12 years ago. And that's if this one even turns out to be a major hurricane. You might also recognize 2005 as being the year of Hurricane Katrina and the time just before Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth came out in January of 06. If you remember, in that Oscar award-winning, riveting, well-done movie, Al predicted that because of climate change, hurricanes would become more frequent and more intense. Since Al Gore's dire warning, we have set an all-time record for the lack, the dearth, the scarcity of major hurricanes. Not only that, but there has been an unprecedented lack of hurricanes of any kind since Al Gore's maniacal rantings. Here's a fact. Even as Al Gore continues to profit from his climate hysteria with movies, seminars all over the world, and his investments, he continues to be proven wrong on virtually all of his major claims. And as we build up to this hurricane, if your media source isn't exposing those simple, provable, undeniable facts, it is definitely time you find a new media source.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Cause we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So here's what's going to happen to the great state of Texas. Texas is going to be possibly pummeled with this storm, and Texans will gather together, and we will take care of each other, and we will heal each other, and we will rebuild, and then we'll move on with our life, because that's what Texans do. It's an interesting thing to watch Texas prepare for a hurricane. They know what to do, and they know that they can trust their neighbors and their friends. And nobody here is looking for the federal government to do anything. Did you guys see the who was it? It was Matt Drudge. May I ask what the hell happened with Matt Drudge and Donald Trump? What happened? Does anybody know?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Did you see the headline was first major test of Donald Trump? And this is, he was making a big deal yesterday out of how is Donald Trump even ready? You know what?
Wow.
New Orleans should have been ready. It was New Orleans' fault. It wasn't the president's fault. And I would have said that under Barack Obama. It was foreseeable that Katrina was going to happen. In fact, a year before, and if correct me if I'm wrong, Stu, almost to the day, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I did an episode on radio of the 10 most dangerous cities in America. And most of them were from all kinds of different things, but mainly at the time it was due to terror. And everybody was expecting New York was going to be number one. I think we did it over a 2 or 3 day period, didn't we?
Yeah, and the other big one everyone was talking about was L.A. for the big earthquakes. That was another one.
Yeah. And I remember it took the audience by surprise, because it took me by surprise when we did our homework. The number one most dangerous city in America was New Orleans. And I said, it is way overdue for a major hurricane. The levees have never been repaired. They keep asking for you know, more tax dollars to fix the levees, but they never fix the levees. It's a giant bowl. We should post that that episode. And it was a year later that Katrina happened. I only bring that up because I'm not a genius. All I did was I got together with my research team and said, hey, guys, what's the most vulnerable, you know, with the power grid, with terrorism, with everything else? Where are our vulnerabilities? Surprisingly, we found New Orleans. So whose fault was that? Was that George Bush's fault? No, that wasn't George Bush's fault. That was the corrupt system in the city of New Orleans that constantly asked for more bond money, more money to fix the levees, than never fixing them right, and then waiting until the last minute. What is Texas doing today? I can guarantee you that Texans are battening down the hatches, and they are ready. And if Galveston or Corpus Christi or any place else, God forbid, is damaged, we in Texas, all of us, will be on the front lines to help them. And federal government, we don't need your help. I don't need to see a FEMA truck. We don't need to see a FEMA truck.
Though you will.
Right? You will.
Absolutely.
Though you will.
I would assume it will be, if it does get as bad as they're saying it's going to be.
Correct. But do you have any doubt that if the FEMA trucks didn't make it, Texans would survive?
Oh, no.
Of course. Texans are going to survive. And I just want to spread this message to you. So will we. We could be hit by the biggest hurricane. We could be hit by the biggest financial hurricane. We could even be hit with civil war and global war. I told you yesterday, in the next 3 months, in the next 90 days, I do not believe it is probable, but it is possible that the United States is hit by a massive 2008 or worse style economic crash. Say that happens in October. By Christmas, we could be in a global conflict because our enemies would see our weakness and our distractions. We could be in a global conflict, and because our enemies are inside the gates between the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists and the black supremacists, we could be in civil war. By Christmas, it is not probable, but it is possible for a reasonable person to think. Major economic downturn, civil war, and global war. That could happen. Are we going to make it? Yeah. Should we choose? Yes. As long as we remember who we are, as long as we remember we're Americans, we make it. We get through it. We pull together. We come together. In the end, when the chips are down, that's when we're at our best. That hasn't been lost in Texas. You know what the other story on the hurricane is? That if it turns, it could actually hit Corpus, then go back out into the Gulf, get some more strength, and then come back and hit Galveston. But it also could hit New Orleans. And what's the story on New Orleans? New Orleans sorely prepared. What?
How's that possible? How is it even possible?
Corruption, horrible government.
Jeez.
That's why. It is, and it has nothing to do with the federal government. It has nothing to do with the last 8 years of Barack Obama. It has everything to do with a horrible, corrupt state and local government. Period. That's what it is. The local government of New Orleans wants to spend their money elsewhere. Did you see in Connecticut they're having problems? They're having problems making payments on all the loans. And so now Connecticut bonds are starting to look bad? Huh. Really? I would have thought Connecticut would always be able to pay their bills. I mean, they weren't wasting money.
Yeah, I remember they had a big controversy a couple decades ago because they didn't have an income tax. And they said if they just passed this income tax, then we would solve all the problems financially of Connecticut. And then they passed it.
Yeah.
And it went into effect.
So how could they possibly be in trouble? Mm. So here's what the state government said this week. I love this. We may have spent money on things we shouldn't have spent money on.
No.
Shut up.
No, I won't hear it.
Shut up. Yeah, they say we're just we're just finishing paying for prisons that we're closing down.
Huh. That's crazy.
I mean, just crazy. Just crazy. So all you have to do is just recognize who we are. And also, I want to throw something else at there. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back. The other part of that is know who you're standing with. Know who you're standing with. Because there is there's an amazing thing going on that people will sound pretty reasonable. I'm going to play some incredible audio where the guy sounds pretty reasonable in this little clip that I've heard. And then all of a sudden something comes out and you're like, what? I hate to use the word most incredible anymore because, no. I mean, every day something is the most incredible whatever. But holy cow, if this doesn't, you know, in a very scary / hysterical way, show you better open your eyes because it's not what you think it is. It's just not what you think it is. Nothing will. But we go there next. First, let me tell you about a guy named Buddy. Buddy is a Army vet. He spent his life defending the country. His daughter had a boyfriend. He was not necessarily a good guy. She breaks up with him. He comes over, shows up on Buddy's doorstep, and he's got a gang of thugs. And he's going to teach the family and Buddy's daughter a lesson or two. Now, what would you do? You are an Army vet. You have the capabilities. You have guns in your house. And a violent-leaning ex-boyfriend shows up, wants your daughter, wants to teach her and the family a lesson, and has got a gang of thugs on your doorstep. What do you do? You remember, you have a gun in the house. And remember, you've defended your life several times in the past and your country.
Well, you probably call the police and get the gun ready.
That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. Police show up. They arrested Buddy. They arrested Buddy. Mm. Now, here's the thing. He had a membership in USCCA, that's the United States Concealed Carry Association. He knew, and this is one of the reasons why he joined up, he knew that if, God forbid, I ever have to defend myself, I am going to be looked at as the bad guy in this country. Because he has membership, that gives him access to a network instantly of the pro-Second Amendment attorneys. He gets upfront bail upfront on the legal fees and the peace of mind that somebody is in his corner. USCCA got Buddy back to his daughter, got Buddy back to his wife, got Buddy back to his life. Please join the USCCA. ProtectAndDefend.com. See how their world-class training and resources, as well as the invaluable self-defense coverage, see how it can add peace of mind to your life. As an added bonus, when you activate your membership, you're going to get free entry to win a gun today, so you can be prepared to defend yourself and your loved ones if an ex-boyfriend of your daughter shows up on your doorstep. ProtectAndDefend.com. That's ProtectAndDefend.com. Do it now.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
All right, we have Bill O'Reilly coming up in just about a half hour. Also, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who I love this guy. He is going to tell us a little bit about the latest decision regarding the Texas voter ID law. Ken Paxton will be joining us for that. At the top of hour number three, I want to spend a few minutes here sharing with you a guy. He's from South Carolina.
He's from North Carolina.
North Carolina.
But he's in South Carolina.
He's going down to South Carolina, and he wants to restore the Confederate flag. This is just something that I just want to play. You got to be careful of who you're standing next to, because sometimes people will sound totally reasonable. And I want you to listen to, I don't agree with him, but I want you to listen to, he sounds like a pretty normal guy until one thing slips through his lips as he's explaining to the press that the Confederate flag is not racist and he's not a racist. Listen up.
How women feel about abortion. That's the same type of symbol. Again, I don't believe it's a symbol of racism. I don't believe it's a symbol of slavery. That's my personal view, but how they feel is their business. But it would be ludicrous for me to tell you how they feel.
Stop for a second. Sounds reasonable, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That sounds American.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think so, but that's my personal view. And if you want to view it a different way, I understand that. Mm-hmm. Sounds reasonable.
Deal. Hey, I get on the street, I see Martin Luther King. I shouldn't say that. Martin Luther King.
Oh, my. Stop.
Good.
Okay.
Golly.
So you know what's amazing about this? It's clear that that's the way he refers to Luther King. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't trying to make a point. He's just like, oh, I see on the streets Martin Luther King. Oh, shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
No, you're right on that one.
You're right on that one.
No, you shouldn't have.
And maybe not just here. You should never say those things or think those things, but apparently you do.
Wow. But I'm not a racist, but I love everybody. I mean, you know, some of my best friends.
You know what? I just want to talk to you.
What? Don't finish that sentence, sir.
I just want to tell you that, I mean, the banks are out of control and they're colluding with the government and the corporations, and they're getting rich and we're not. And, you know, I think that everybody really kind of understands. And if you don't agree with that, that's fine. I mean, you know, it's just these damn Jew bankers. I mean,
I shouldn't have said that.
Darn it. I know I love the Jews. I just think they all should be shoved into an other room.
I shouldn't have said that.
Other room, I meant. Mm. That's what I meant.
That's incredible.
I'm going to give them cake. I mean, this is...
See your
it's
true
crazy
colors shining through.
Yeah, that's really, really. And I will say that that is an effect of the way. Like, I am 100% behind people who say, "Let's out these white supremacists.
Yep.
Let's mock them. Let's expose their viewpoints." You know, there's these weird things now where they're like, there's these Twitter accounts that are taking pictures of the people in the rallies, and they're trying to give them consequences at their jobs and all those other things. You know, those are weird. But does in the end is put these people
back in the closet.
Back in the closet. They don't admit it. I'd rather hear these idiots. I'd rather watch every one of them walk down the street with a torch.
Right.
Because instead of this.
I don't know who they are. I don't put them in a hood. I want to know who they are.
So I can avoid them.
Yes.
It's interesting, too, because a lot of them are proud of it. They don't have any problem being racist.
Well, I will tell you
They're proud of it.
Yeah. This should tell white people. I mean... You know, you probably, I've told this story before, and I don't remember what city it was in. And I don't want to say because I don't remember for sure. But I was there with the chief of police, the head of this theater, and somebody else, maybe somebody from the mayor's office. I don't even remember. And I'm standing backstage, and we're talking. Were you there, Pat? We're standing backstage.
No,
and
but it was in...
It don't say. So I.
It was, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, it was
no, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It actually wasn't. There.
It was.
It actually
no,
was.
It was in Nova Scotia.
No, seriously, it was not in Louisville.
Legitimately, I do remember where it was, and it was not Louisville.
Yeah. Okay. No. So, and I'm standing backstage, and they said we are on CST. I said I like to start the shows on time. You know, people come here. Let's start on time. You know, and I can actually run over, I hear, from time to time. So let's start on time. And the head of theater and the sheriff or the police or whatever, they're all standing around. They said, well, you're on CST here. And I said, what's CST? And they said, you know, colored standard time. Coloreds never run on time.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, what?
Boo.
What? What? I mean, I couldn't believe it. And this kind of thing where this guy is talking and he sounds kind of reasonable, warning. That should be a warning for you to wake up on who you're standing next to. They might sound reasonable, but they very well may not be. And also, America, wake up. This stuff is exactly what our black neighbors are talking about that we never see. Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
We're just talking about ESPN here. What's her name? Mary Steele?
No, Sage Steele.
Sage Steele. She's just come out. They're revamping SportsCenter. As you know, if you've listened to me for more than 10 minutes, I am not a sports fan at all. But we have had a, Pat and I had a mental breakdown earlier this week. More me than Pat. I'm so sick and tired of being pushed around and accepting it. And as Pat pointed out to me the other day, I said, when are you guys gonna just stand up and say enough is enough, ESPN? Because ESPN continues to be the arbiter of all that is right and holy and just, and they're wrong. Mm-hmm. When I understand you want to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong, this is an injustice, and we won't tolerate it. Fine. Chink in the armor. Or taking the guy and moving him around because your audience you think is too stupid, then they're going to be offended by a guy named Robert Lee.
And maybe the worst example that a lot of people pass over is the guy who was announcing Venus Williams' tennis match and said she was in guerrilla warfare, GUERR, and everyone, or a few people on Twitter, thought he meant GORILLA, guerrilla. And because a few people didn't know the word he used, he got fired.
Right. It's unbelievable.
So ESPN has just gone over the cliff. And as I've been saying for a while, the righteous don't suddenly become righteous. They just refuse to go over the cliff with everybody else. ESPN will not learn until you push back. Now, their ratings have gone down. And I think it's because of this. People don't want that from them. You just want sports. But the other thing is we don't go after their main money source. Their main money source, I'm sorry, ESPN is very, very profitable. But you know what's more profitable and more important? The mouse. It's owned by ABC Disney. You go after Disney, and I promise you, they will stop. But you have to actually have a credible threat. Tanya and I talked about it last night, and we talked about how people don't necessarily want to do this. You got a 5-year-old kid, you've your daughter, you've promised her she's going to be a princess, you're going to go to Disney World, and we're saving up for it, and then to make some point with ESPN, you say, I'm not going to take you to Disney World. Explain that to your 5-year-old. Nobody wants to do that, and everybody wants to have that magic, but there comes a point to where you're going to have to say, you know what? This is more important. It's more important that she has a culture that she can grow up in that makes sense and isn't silencing people for stupid things. It's more important than the Disney experience. And I don't know how I'd explain it to her. And I know I'm going to miss the magic more than she will. But I got to stand. And so I made that point. I don't expect anybody else to join that, but I'm not going to Disney World. I will not go to Disneyland. I'm not going to swear off Star Wars, but I am going to do my part. I will do as much as I possibly can. And I am a huge, my kids are still begging, Dad, when are we going to go back to Disneyland? Never. We're not until ESPN is reined in.
It's called save your money, kid. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
You'll know when you buy the ticket.
Okay, so here comes Mary Sage Steele, and she is talking about a revamp.
It's just Sage Steele.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was Mary.
No, it's got nothing to do with Sage. Mary. I don't know where you're getting that from.
Mary Sage Steele.
No, I was going to marry her because I was going to leave my wife and marry her because I was so excited. I was so excited about sanity being restored to ESPN. Okay. And she said the people
R-R-Y.
she Yeah. Which I corrected on my copy.
Okay.
This is on my copy.
I don't know who these people are.
But she says, you know, she's going to revamp this because she says the people she talks to want more sports. It's so true. Nobody, and as she said, nobody is watching ESPN to hear about Charlottesville. I mean, if you want to hear about Charlottesville, you're going to Fox, you're going to MSNBC.
Sure.
You are not going to ESPN for that.
She says, for the most part, I think we leave social and political issues to the news networks.
Thank you.
Not everybody agrees with me on that. Not everybody I work with agrees with me. That's my personal opinion, that sports are where we go to escape. I agree with you on this. Here's the thing. When you turn on SportsCenter, that's not what you want to hear. As a viewer, I want to see the highlights. I want to hear from Rich Hill. That's what I want as a viewer. That's what I believe most viewers want when they turn to ESPN. Yes. It's less of this. So,
oh God, geez.
Isn't that great? I mean, that's
so now the
so great.
So now the business argument is: people say, "Well, you can't do highlights because everybody has seen them." You know what? I think escape is more important to more and more people every single day.
For sure.
There's two kinds. There's the escape that is just the empty calories of, I'm just going to eat it. I'm just going to watch it. I know it's bad for me, but I do not want to look at the real world anymore. That's an important escape for people, as long as you don't become addicted to it. There's times where you have to escape. That's where ESPN comes in. Be an escape. I mean, geez, man, your company's founder came up with Fantasyland. Fantasy football. Escape. Let people escape. The other kind of escape is being able to escape into a safe place. And I don't mean a safe zone. I mean a safe place to where you're learning and you're empowering, but you're not being fueled with anger and hatred. Those two things are really important. It's why I go see movies all the time. Tanya said to me, I got home late last night, and she said, you know, it didn't sound like you wanted to go to a movie this weekend. And I just wrote to her this morning, and I'm like, no. I don't care if we've seen the movie 100 times. I just need to go and just escape, you know? And I think that's really important. When the industry says you don't want to watch the clips over and over again, yeah. I don't know anything about sports, but I think you do. I think if you have people who are playing them, who are funny, who are commenting on it, who are not getting political, who are just happy, I think people will go and watch a clip show.
Yeah, and there's more to it than that. There's stories, there's backstories. You know, I think just the focusing on the Fox News, MSNBC aspects of it is just wrong. They had a show that I remember them launching this when I was a kid, called Outside the Lines, which was, hey, we're here, we're inside the lines, we're talking about sports all the time. Here's one show to cover some of those other things. And it was good. Every day you'd get kind of the interesting story that was outside of like what they were doing every day on the field or the court. Then I think it became a daily. Now it's like all their programming. Mm-hmm. It's like everything they're doing all the time is talking about race issues. And it's like, I just
it
want...
Is, it is why... Honestly, it is why things I think like Game of Thrones are so huge right now. There's no tie. Nobody's preaching to you. Nobody's telling you, you know, all the lifestyles are from the medieval days. And they're, you know, all bets are off when people can go out and eat other people and it's okay. There's nothing relating to today. When you turn on television, I watched something with the kids. We were watching, what is it, The Good Place? Is that the thing you told me about, The Good Place? Somebody had told me about this, and so we started watching. I've been looking for a show that we can watch as, you know, as a family, and it's the main character goes to heaven, goes to The Good Place, but she quickly finds out that there's a mistake and she should be in the bad place.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, there's like this computer-generated AI that kind of is your guide in heaven. And she's like, hey, can you tell me what's in the bad place? And the AI says, No, but I can play a few seconds of audio of what's currently happening now. And the audio just clips in. It's just screaming in flames and, you know, horrible. And so she does everything she can to stay in the good place. So the AI character, yesterday, we're watching like the third episode. The AI character comes in and she's programmed to give interesting tips and tidbits, you know, in this
of
particular episode. Yeah, of
the,
you know, of things that, you know, trying to be more relatable, more less artificial. And so they say something, they're trying to get somebody to go and do, be an explorer. And you could be an explorer like Columbus, just the AI, just a interesting side note, because of the rapes, the murders, the genocide, and the, you know, the white power or whatever the hell, he's in the bad place. Boom. Thank you. Thank you for destroying my escape.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I don't want you to jam crap down my throat. I don't want it from the right and the religious right. I don't want it from the atheist and the left. I don't want it. Just let me be in peace, please.
And it's so bad coming from sports guys because they don't study this stuff. They're studying football, basketball, and baseball.
Right.
They don't know what the hell they're talking about on these political
issues.
And you have to listen to them babbling their nonsense, and it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It hurts. It would be, honestly, if we decided we were going to do a sports show, I'm on the show.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
And I'm talking about sports. I have no idea. And everyone in the audience would be like, oh, shut him up.
Well, and look, it happens on this show, right? Like, you talk about issues that are associated with sports, and you have to fill in the details of the story. You don't know where to put the emphasis on the words. You don't know what the words mean. Like, I'm not even bashing you here. Like, it's not your expertise.
Right.
You don't know about it. You don't care about it.
Happens with these guys.
Yeah.
And they're almost always left, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yes. I don't know why that is, but they're almost always left of center.
I think that's because that's the default. I mean, this goes back to, you know, Andrew Breitbart back when he was alive and his work actually did things that were positive. he talked about politics being downstream from culture.
Yes.
When you don't care about these issues, you go with that flow. And the flow to everybody says, of course you should be on this side of the argument. You should be on the left side of the argument. I mean, this what's his face? The guy who's on, Lawrence O'Donnell, talked about this years ago when he said, you know, I'm basically a socialist, but there's really in-depth, brilliant arguments for conservative economics. The issue is you have to be educated and actually look at them to understand them. So that's why we win all the time. And it's because 90% of people will never look into these issues in any depth. And you find this all the time. I'm sure you do, Glenn, as well. You talk to people and they consider themselves to be liberals. They consider themselves to be progressives.
Not.
And you talk to them about individual issues, and they don't sound like progressives at all because they've put no thought into it. It's just, it's like they are marinating in this culture where that is constantly said and reinforced as the only way to go. And, you know, it makes the meat taste that way. They've been marinating for a long time.
And that is why those who are pushing hard, because I personally think the mouse only wants to make money. That's it. Just make money. ESPN, easy way to make money. Stay out of the controversy. It's the perfect business for us. That's what the mouse would be thinking. Stay out of controversy. But there are so many people that have a deep agenda who see culture is the way. We've got to make this Disney movie say this, this, or this. We have to have ESPN say this, this, or this because they lead the culture. If you lose those positions, those are big positions to lose. That's why I don't think the average person at ESPN is a zealot one way or another. They're just being told, do not ever go here, but you can go play here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming fascistic in nature and stupid, suicidal. Business-wise, suicidal. If those who watch ESPN will alert Disney, I'm done with you. I know you own ESPN. I know you only care about the mouse. I'm done. Back in just a second. Upside. We have we've all wasted a lot of time trying to book travel. It's frustrating. It's disappointing. It's depressing. You will spend, the average person, I think, spends, what is it, 65, 75 minutes just trying to book a trip for themselves for business travel. And you go back and forth and you're comparing and did I get the right price? And then there's no reason to do all of these things when you can book everything you need. The goal of Upside is to save you not only a ton of money, but also give you money, have savings for your company, have the hotels and the airlines win. So everybody's a winner, and they save you about 65 minutes every time you try to book your travel. Go to upside.com. Find out the Upside different. No more wasting time, pricing the flights and the hotels at the same old sites. Upside.com. Bundle the flights and the hotel together. One low price. They reward you with a gift card to places like Amazon every time you buy a trip. It's the real deal at Upside.com. And when you use the promo code Beck, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card for your package purchase. That's promo code Beck. You'll get a $100 gift card from Amazon free. Minimum purchases required. See site for complete details. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Bill O'Reilly is coming up next. Bill O'Reilly is he's going to explain to us why Donald Trump's speech in Phoenix wasn't so bad and justified and needed to be said. I can't wait to hear Bill O'Reilly's recap on the news, only from the mind of Bill O'Reilly. It comes up next.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Bill O'Reilly has a lot to say, but so do I. And one of the things I want to talk to him about is his new book that is out called Killing England, The Brutal Struggle for American Independence. I have not read much of it, but I have skipped around in it, and it's an easy read. It's a really good read, and I know a lot about the American Revolution and George Washington. As you know, I wrote a book on George Washington. This is fantastic and just tremendous. And it's available now, Killing England by Bill O'Reilly. We talk to him right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Now, here's the great thing about America. Bill O'Reilly and I can have fundamental disagreements on things, and we do. We have different look at things, we have a different approach on things, and a very different viewpoint on certain things. But we are friends, we get along, because we both know that what we both want in the end is a strong America and a country that can come together again on some basic principles. So as I say this now, I bring on the Antichrist himself, Bill O'Reilly. Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm weeping. Yeah. I'm weeping after that introduction. Well, I'm sitting here in my short pants and yeah. I'm weeping.
Yeah. You,
I have to correct you, though, one thing.
Yeah.
Killing England will be released to the marketplace on September 19th. Of course, I sent you an advance copy. But you can order pre-order on Amazon and BillO'Reilly.com.
That's really good.
And I was lucky, and I'm glad you referenced your George Washington book as well. So I have that in my house. I'm going to reread it now. I had read it a long time ago. But I was lucky because this whole statue thing, which is much bigger than statues.
Yes.
Much bigger than statues.
Yes.
And I hope we're going to talk about that today.
Yes.
That ties in with Killing England because you are going to know exactly who George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin were as men and how they conducted themselves throughout their lives. And then you can determine whether statues of them should be pulled down, all right, because they are coming for Washington and Jefferson.
I know they are.
Here in New York City, as you know, Christopher Columbus, Peter Stuyvesant is the latest. They're running wild, the far left, and I mean wild. So there we go. There's my opening remark.
All right, let's start on the statues because you're exactly right. This is not about oppression and pain that these statues are calling. If you want to have a real discussion about the Confederacy and what that was really all about and whether, you know, Nathan Bedford Forrest is a guy that we should have a statue on. We can have that discussion. The answer is no, but we should have that discussion on who this guy was and who others were.
Absolutely.
But this is really about taking and tearing down the entire American story and discrediting the entire American story.
It's even more than that. This is about naked power. Naked power. So you're seeing now the rise of the far left, you know, called the old left, whatever you want to call it, Antifa. You're seeing them rise up because the media will not challenge anything they do. So we now know that there are college professors. The latest is the guy in Clemson in South Carolina who's calling for violence. Your violence, overthrow the country. And if you have to burn down stores or kill cops, you go right ahead and do it. Why is that man still working? Why is he still working at Clemson University? Why hasn't the press made him a front page story? This is a college professor. So the far left, the Antifa's, understand they can do whatever they want now with impunity because the hate Trump media is 100% focused on getting President Trump out of office. So they're going to let everything else go. Now, as far as your point is concerned, the far left hates the country. That's where you have to start there. They think America is exploitative. It's white supremacy. It's abused minorities ever since its inception. And it has to be torn down. The whole thing has to go, almost like Tsarist Russia and the Soviet Union. Everything has to go. All right. Well, the first thing that has to go is any remnants of what happened to this country and how it evolved into what it is. And that means history. History's got to be revised, okay? So we'll revise it in public schools. They're already doing that. And now we'll tear down all the statues and demonize people with whom we disagree. So we're going to demonize Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, historical figures that fought for the Confederacy. That's our starting point. But then we're going to go get Columbus. And after we get Columbus, we'll get Jefferson.
Right.
Jefferson was a slaveholder.
Okay.
And Washington.
So help me separate the Confederacy because I personally I don't believe that the Confederate flag is anything but a racist symbol. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people don't agree with that because they have been talked into that's their heritage. But if you read the Confederate Constitution, it was not states' rights. You had no right to join the Confederacy. If you wanted to abolish slavery, you needed to expand slavery. So it wasn't about the defense of our U.S. Constitution. It was about a new Constitution and defending slavery. That's historic fact. Now, with that being said, I am bothered. I understand because, you know, people have to justify in their own head, you know, were my people, you know, years ago, bad people, good people? What do I come from? That screws with people. And so they do want to look at it as their heritage. And so they have glossed over a lot of things. But I don't have a problem teaching these guys in proper context. I don't have a problem looking at them as all as individuals, but all of them were traitors to the U.S. Constitution, and all of them in the end were, whether they wanted to admit it or not, fighting for the evils of slavery. Agree or disagree?
I agree on the hierarchy level, the Jefferson Davis level, okay, but I don't agree on the troops on the ground level. So let me give a little quickly a little perspective. About 10% of Southerners owned slaves or trafficked slaves, and a lot of them had one or two. Mm-hmm. Okay, so 90% of the South didn't have slaves.
Correct.
In the Civil War, the guys who were fighting on the side of the Confederacy were mainly between the ages of 15 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
Many were illiterate. They really didn't know much. And they rallied to a cause that said, you have to defend Virginia. You have to defend South Carolina. You have to defend Alabama. That's what the rallying cry was.
Right.
So them a pass?
I will agree with you on that. I'll give you that.
Right.
This is the kind of the discussion, by the way, America should be having. I will agree with you on that, that the average person didn't know, didn't buy into it.
No.
It is the difference that we made between talking about Germans and Nazis. We were not against
That's
the
right.
Germans. We were against the Nazis. And most
and German soldiers
right.
were not prosecuted after World War II.
Correct. Those who were direct.
So then,
wait, hang on just a second. Those who were directly involved and knew what was going on, they were prosecuted. But if you didn't know what was going on, you were not part of the atrocities. You weren't held responsible for those atrocities. However, Germans were very clear themselves. We do not appreciate you holding up the Nazi flag and saying, well, yeah, but my family, they didn't fight for the death of all the Jews. That's a no-go zone. We don't glorify.
Right, in fact, it's outlawed.
Yes.
Any Nazi symbols are against the law in Germany.
Correct. And I don't agree with that here, but we don't need to glorify that movement.
That's a good word, glorify. I think that's a key. So people who are running around saying that, oh, it was the war of Northern aggression and we were, unfairly treated, that's just crazy. In fact, Abraham Lincoln is really responsible for all of this. Because Lincoln basically said, look, war's over. I'm not going to have war crimes trials.
Yep.
I'm not going to hang Lee and all the generals. I'm not even going to do anything to Jefferson Davis.
Yep.
Okay, except, make him a pariah. All right. So Lincoln, he was the guy that said, if we want to have a country, all right, we're going to have reconciliation, all right, and reconstruction. Now, he was assassinated by Booth. He was a fanatical Confederate. And then Johnson came in and didn't know what he was doing, and the whole thing deteriorated
yes.
for decades into strife. However, right now, what we have to deal with is that the South and Texas and parts of the Midwest are not bad people. Their
Correct.
Descendants aren't bad people.
Correct.
They shouldn't be demonized.
Correct.
Lee conducted himself after the war in a very, very honorable way. He's a West Point graduate. People should know about Robert E. Lee. His statue doesn't offend anybody. However, the statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest in New Orleans does. He's
yes.
the start. He started the Ku Klux Klan.
Correct. And we
His
can't even get
should be taken.
We
down.
Can't get people on, in the media on the uber right. And I don't even go into the alt-right. I mean, just up against that line of the alt-right. They're still holding up William Bedford Forrest, or yeah, well, it's Nathan Bedford. I don't remember. Nathan Bedford Forrest. They won't even admit that he was the key that unlocked the door to the Klan. That he was skinning people alive. He's a different.
Why are you even talking about fringe groups? See, here's the difference between the alt-right and the antifas. All right, the media. All right, has demonized anybody, not only far-right people, but conservative people. I mean, the mantra last week was, if you voted for Trump, you're a racist. Okay? So, the media's already done that. On the left, you can be Joseph Stalin's first cousin.
Correct.
And be calling for overthrow of this government, and the media's not going to do anything to you. Now, American people, they don't want extremism in any way, shape, or form. They reject both groups.
Yep.
Right? And both groups' numbers are very, very low. I said on the BillO'Reilly.com podcast, I've been in this business 42 years. Beck's been in about 65. I've been to every city, every country. I've never met a white supremacist other than covering you know, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But never.
Yes.
Never. I don't know any. No way. I've never seen any.
Yes.
So where are they if they're taking over the world? You know, I mean, it's just insane.
Okay. Back with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. You can hear his take on the news every day on his No Spin News podcast. He's doing some really exciting things, and I do want to talk to him about Killing England, which comes out in a couple of weeks. And I've read only a few chapters, kind of skipping around, and it's really, really well written. Bill O'Reilly, Killing England, and his podcast at BillO'Reilly.com. More in a second. First, this: you don't need to lose any more sleep because you're up all night, you know, sorting through countless resumes and cover letters with ZipRecruiter.com, you have powerful technology at your fingertips that efficiently matches the right people to your job. ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It goes out and finds them. That's why over 80% of the jobs posted at ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in 24 hours. There's no juggling emails, no calls to your office. You just screen, rate, manage the candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Right now, ZipRecruiter.com, you can use it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Do it now.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com is with us. So, Bill, let me continue this conversation about the monuments here just for a bit.
Sure.
We know, and I think we both agree what we're headed for. We're headed for a possible hot civil war if things don't calm down and simmer down, because we have people on both sides. The alt-right is an alternate to the right. It is not the right principles. It is socialism and fascism. That's not what conservatives are. So you have, just like you had in Germany, you have the Nazis and the communists really going and trying to stir things up. Every time, and Lincoln was a great example of this, every time we have entered those periods, the way to survive is to have a third force step forward, and that is one that speaks right directly to the people who, like you said, don't want anything to do with either one of those sides, and can speak calm, peace, and understanding.
That's right.
How do we get there in this situation that we're in right now, where, quite honestly, and I know you and I disagree on this, both sides kind of suck at that. And I don't mean the Nazis and the Antifa. I mean the parties. They both suck.
Yeah.
And the media is playing its role on both sides.
Right. It's very hard for, I would say, 80% of Americans are persuadable. See, that's a key word, persuadable. If you're not persuadable, if you're just a fanatic, and no matter how many facts you present, you're going to reject everything.
Yes.
All right, so that's 20% of the American public. 80% are persuadable, and in varying degrees. Some are very open-minded, some are independent, some are locked into whatever. So you basically then have those people having to make a decision. What kind of country do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's important that they know, and a lot of them don't, because the news agencies are so irresponsible, what's happening. And what's happening is a concerted effort to rewrite the history of this country,
mm-hmm.
that George Washington was a bad man,
mm-hmm.
okay, because he was a slaveholder, mm-hmm. and he was a brutal guy,
right.
and he did this and he did that. And the same thing with Thomas Jefferson, and the same thing with Benjamin Franklin. We got to get rid of them. All right, so we don't hold them up anymore. Now, if you bring in Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy, both flawed men, who did extraordinarily good things, all right, then the left don't want to hear about that. Mm-mm, no way. But getting back to Washington and Jefferson, so the population who doesn't want their country run down and changed dramatically has to learn about the men. And that's why I wrote Killing England. I mean, we tell you in the most micro way what George Washington was really like as a person.
Yeah.
And the guy, I'll give you just one. He demanded that he be called His Excellency. Washington gave orders that he was to be addressed as His Excellency. And, you know, that's pretty haughty for a guy. But every time we give you something like that, we give you how brave the man was and what he unbelievably accomplished single-handedly. And the same thing with
Jefferson. Can you give me any perspective on your can you give me any perspective on being insisting on being called Your Excellency? Because he also insisted on being called the President, which was basically like the title of shop manager at the time.
Well, when he was a commander, when he was commanding the forces and the Continental Congress gave him the authority, he knew right away that he had to be feared to keep the rebel army intact.
Okay, so
right?
so
he
this is
he
okay.
had to be feared.
Right. And this is a key because I'm sorry. This is a key at the beginning because during the war he's like that, but soon as the war is after that, he's not that man at all.
No, he changes into back into, you know, a guy who really didn't like the trappings. He really didn't like the trappings of power. He really didn't like the ceremonial garbage. It wasn't him. But he knew that he had to be respected by the ragtag rebel army, which is a bunch of people from different states who really didn't get along. So he said, you're going to call me Your Excellency, because then that title of respect is going to be universal. And then I'm going to set up gallows in our camps, and anybody who runs away is going to get hung.
I want to talk a little bit.
Wasn't playing around.
I want to talk a little bit about that. We're going to come back, and I want to talk about the gallows that he put, because there's a great chapter in your book where you talk about what is now Lower Manhattan, the gallows, and him sitting on the horse.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty intense scene, and you don't think of George Washington this way. But I also want to ask you, do you believe, in the research that you've done, do you believe the stories that... of him just being shot at, never being wounded. He had this almost other world kind of image of the guy was absolutely invincible. In your research, when we come back, I'd like to hear, was that reality or was that kind of like Call Me Your Excellency kind of built up to make him into an invincible man?
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
So let's go to Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. He's got a new book out that is well worth your time. You'll find it on Amazon. It comes out in a couple of weeks, called Killing England, The Brutal Struggle for America's Independence. A book that it couldn't be timed better, as people are starting to come after Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and all of the monuments, everything that we hold dear. Now is the time to learn it, gang, or we're going to lose it. And personally, my view is we have to be a very unique and peculiar people in our approach. We have to be as unique as Martin Luther King or Gandhi was. Anger on both sides. If you get angry and you start to have arguments, no one's going to listen to you and no one's going to stand next to you. We have to find a very peaceful, logical way to be able to communicate with people. And a good way to start is planting this deep inside of your children and yourself. Bill O'Reilly, Killing England, is available in bookstores in a couple of weeks. Get it now on Amazon or BillO'Reilly.com. Okay, Bill, as you're doing your research on George Washington, I find miracle after miracle after miracle, and I believe all of them. You know, he comes off the battlefield and he's got a hole in his hat. He's got two holes in his jacket. And the men begin to look at him as absolutely invincible. They look at him as this guy has been anointed from God to lead us because he's on the biggest horse and the white horse. And he's having horses shot out from underneath him, but he lives.
Yeah.
Do you believe those stories to be true?
Yeah, they are true. We open Killing England with the French and Indian War, Braddock's defeat, where Washington was a member of the Virginia militia and had three horses shot out from under him. And we tell you that that was a problem, not only because of the danger, but because Washington's hemorrhoids were so severe that he had to ride on a pillow. He had to put a pillow between himself and the saddle, or he couldn't get on the horse. But Washington was an amazingly brave man. And that was very, very important, because in the beginning of the war, the rebel army was on the run. It was on the retreat. And it would have fallen apart if their leader had not been as strong as Washington. Washington was the last man to be evacuated from the Battle of Long Island, where the British won and drove the rebel army upstate New York, and they were chasing them. And then they thought, the King of England thought, that was going to be the end of the war. Washington stayed on that beach, the last guy out. And so, yes, and ironically, the same thing is true with Robert E. Lee. The Confederacy would have lost a long time ago had he not been such a powerful presence on his horse, right about that, in killing Lincoln, Mars, Robert. And, you know, obviously different causes and at different times in history. But the strength of leadership is what I think Americans need to know about. And when you get back to the statue situation, there are going to come for Washington and Jefferson. And there's no doubt that the fanatical left is going to try to tear them down, because they're responsible. Both of those men are directly responsible for the freedoms that we have today. And the hard left hates those freedoms, right? They want the government to run everything. That's the battle. So I want Americans, and I think you do too, so we're kind of simpatico here, to know about everything about it.
Yeah, I want to
Washington
know,
and Jefferson.
I want to know everything. The bad and the good. I want to know.
Right. So you
want to know it all
in totality. You can debate it in totality.
Yeah.
All right. So okay. Yeah, he shouldn't have. You want to think? I do. I want to think I would have been John Quincy Adams against slavery from the jump. I want to think I would have been that guy. All right. But I don't know. It was a different time, and the mores were different.
So I was having I was having a conversation with somebody last night. And we were talking about this, and I said, and somebody said, you know, well, people have a hard time understanding Thomas Jefferson because he compromised, yada, yada, yada. Okay, tell me what the argument is right now in Congress on both sides. They're saying you want to get something done, you've got to compromise. Tell me where we are on, I think one of the greatest evils of our day is Planned Parenthood. Tell me where we are on that. We're not burning everything down, and nobody thinks that's reasonable to do that. Some do. I don't. We need to continue to educate people. There's more slaves today in today's world. I just got back from Mexico City, where I did interviews with some people that I'm going to introduce the audience to in a couple of weeks that are just breathtaking. 2 years ago, one of them was a literal chain around the neck slave, a labor slave in Mexico in horrific conditions. She's now named one of the top 100 most powerful people in Mexico by Forbes magazine. And 2 years ago, she was a slave. Please stop talking to me about oppression when we don't really understand oppression today. Two, we say we would be these abolitionists, but there's more slavery happening today than ever before. And most people don't even want to look at it. They don't want to think it. Why, if you're not an abolitionist today for real slavery, what makes you think you would have been any different than the worst of our founders back then?
Well, I mean, if you're going to get into the reality of today's world, then you can basically make the case that the biggest threat to the world is the Islamic Jihad. And we all know that ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban have slaves.
Yep.
They enslave people.
Yep.
All right. And we know that's happening. But once again, the worldwide outrage against that is muted, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Of course it is. You know, we don't hear the reportage. Yes, ISIS is bad, and they're killing everybody, and the media has to report it, and the media has to demonize ISIS to some extent. but nothing like it should be.
Yes.
And so that you're right. I mean, Americans who are good people and who want the best for themselves, their families, and their country need to learn so they can fight back and they can out debate other people and they can know when they're being lied to on television and in the newspapers. That's really important. You've got to know when you're being lied to, because these dopey college students, they don't know. They walk into the classroom and here's this crazy professor telling them all kinds of garbage that isn't true. And they don't know. They didn't have had high school history courses that meant anything. So they're sitting there going, oh, I didn't know my country was so bad. I didn't know George Washington was this and that and the other thing. And there's this, you know, radical leftist sitting up there. And are there any radical right people teaching in colleges? Anyone? Can I see a hand? Bueller? Anyone? You can't even get a job in a college if you're just a moderate conservative. I mean, it's so insane.
Okay, Bill.
People need to now go outside the educational system, read books, listen to shows like yours and mine, to get some perspective on the coming social civil war in this country. Well, it's already here. It's not coming. It's already here.
Bill O'Reilly, let me ask you. I was going to ask you about Afghanistan, but I would rather go here. Tell me the importance of this. And this, you're going to love this book from Bill. Chapter 6. New York City, New York, June 28, 1776, 11 a.m. Soon the noose will take another life. 20,000 New Yorkers are now aware that George Washington has Sergeant Thomas Hickey's death warrant. Much of Manhattan has come to watch the disgraced soldier hang by the neck until dead. Men, women, children, black and white, rich and poor, they've all traveled to Washington's military encampment in Lower Manhattan. They came on foot, horseback, pushcart, by carriage, just to indulge in colonial America's favorite form of mass entertainment, public execution. On this warm Friday morning, some spectators even enjoy a picnic. Others stumble across the greenery of the common, very drunk despite the early morning hour. Pickpockets, of which there are many, enjoy a busy and prosperous day. These are Thomas Hickey's last moments as a terrestrial being, but there's little sympathy for him. What is the meaning of the story that you go on? Really well written, by the way, Bill. What is the meaning of this story? Why is this important?
He was an Irishman who was in the colonial army and then betrayed Washington and joined a group that wanted to assassinate him.
So what we're
British spies.
So what we're getting, Mr. O'Reilly, is that all Irishmen should be hung?
Right. So Washington had counter spies, and they uncovered the plot to assassinate the general. And Hickey was the leader of the crew and was sentenced by Washington. No jury, nothing. You know, Washington to hang by the neck until death. Now, there were many appeals, you know, for clemency and to, you know, trade Hickey to the British for a captured colonial officer. Nothing. But Washington said, I got to make an example of this guy. And so we're going to not only hang him, we're going to hang him slow. OK, so the difference, you can hang somebody fast and they die when their neck snaps. Almost immediately, you can hang them slow, and they're up there 5 minutes kicking. And that's what Washington ordered. And Washington himself came out and stood there while this happened. And the message was that traitors to the cause of independence are not going to be tolerated. That was the message.
You know, it's,
he had this optic, and everybody in the colonies, believe me, knew about it. And that was not just one isolated incident. If you abandon the battlefield, Washington would have you hung or shot, all right, on the spot. And that's why I say it's the brutal struggle for American independence.
Right.
This was not some kind of patty cake war.
People look at these, we'll look at things like that and say, look at how mean George Washington was. And look how bad the colonial Americans were. They went and watched this for entertainment. This was the way the world was. I mean, the world up until America was much more Game of Thrones than anything we can relate to now.
That was the mores of the day. And it was a brutal existence. Life expectancy was 40, 42, as it is in Afghanistan right now. Mm-hmm. And people were, drawn to violence. It was a whole different mentality, all right? Right and wrong was way, way different back then than it is now. And this is what everybody has to understand. You can't be holding people accountable for what they did 300 years ago, 200 years ago in today's society. You can't be tearing down every part of American history and reshaping it in your image of today.
Bill O'Reilly, the name of the book is Killing England, The Brutal Struggle for American Independence. Great book. Also, BillO'Reilly.com is where you can find Bill every day and his No Spin News. Bill O'Reilly, thanks for joining us. BillO'Reilly.com. We'll talk to you again next week. Our sponsor this half hour is Goldline. The Jackson Hole Economic Policy Symposium starts today. This is the retreat for the central bankers. They come from all around the world. Analysts are paying close attention to the remarks that are going to be given by the European Central Bank. They're looking to end Europe's quantitative easing, and that policy shift, if it happens, will have ripple effects here in the United States. What does it mean? These guys are meeting. They are talking about our economic future, and we're not really involved. There are many things that could collapse this house of cards, and I don't assign ill will to, you know, most of the people who are working in the central banks. I find them foolish, and I find them, quite honestly, irresponsible, many of them. But they're the ones who are really shaping the world of tomorrow, and make no mistake, it's being redesigned. This time it's different, is what you will hear in symposiums like this in Jackson Hole this weekend. It's not. It never is. May I suggest you call Goldline now at 866-465-3546, 866-465-3546. Have something tangible in your hand. As Bill said, the coming civil war, well, I shouldn't say it's coming, it's here. It is. A hot civil war could follow. Global war could follow. Economic collapse could follow. And all of those things, while not probable, are possible in the next 90 days. Please have your ducks in the row. For as little as $2,500, you get 3 months of price protection all the way up to a year for a $25,000 investment. Only people offering that. Goldline, 1-866-465-3546, 866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah, a couple things I want to hit before we have to take a break at the top of next hour. And next hour, we're going to talk about the voting bill that was just overturned here in Texas. We have the Attorney General of Texas on. We'll talk to him. Also, Hurricane Harvey rainfalls posing a danger to New Orleans. They are, quote, ill-prepared. How is that possible other than corrupt incompetent local government? Also, try this on for size. Bloomberg is now reporting Obamacare plans will be sold in every U.S. county next year.
Yay!
Yay!
The thing that's legally required will be sold.
So you're legally required, and after next year, there is one insurance company, one insurer that has agreed to do business in every county in the U.S. Congratulations.
All the choices and competition we'll get from this bill. It's None. Amazing. By the way, it's not just a couple counties. 47% of America has only one carrier. 47% of America.
And you're saying that's
but competition is going
bad.
No, competition is going to increase, and it's gonna be great.
Obama said this.
8 to 9 million people that you refer to that might have to change their coverage. Keep in mind, out of the 300 million Americans that we're talking about, would be folks who the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, estimates would find the deal in the exchange better. Would be a better deal. So they would change coverage because they've got more choice and competition.
Oh, choice and competition.
Except now by next year, there will be one insurer in each county that, quote, has agreed to cover those people in that county.
But when you have up to one choice. I mean, how do you even choose?
I love these people who say this is a Trojan horse. I mean, it's right there.
It's
the road to a single payer system. It's right there.
Glenn Beck.
There's a few things that we have to cover before we call it a weekend. One, an amazing quote from Gary Cohn, who works in the White House, and he's being pressured as a Jewish guy. You've got to leave. You've got to leave. You have to hear his quote. What he said yesterday is one of the best things I have read from anyone with any kind of power in a very long time. I'll give that to you here coming up in just a second. Also, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is on with us. There's something happening big here in Texas. We'll get his look on it. And I also really want to talk to him about the statues and the controversy. How is Texas dealing with this? And this story. I gotta blame my problems on somebody. That is what is happening to our incredibly dumbed down society. I gotta blame it on somebody because it can't be me. There's a university up in Canada that is now laying the blame squarely, your fatness, on how food is marketed.
Amen.
They have reached the conclusion that marketing by the food industry makes us want delicious, not nutritious food. Researchers claim the industry is essentially committing something akin to criminal entrapment by making us want the food that is bad for us.
How long have I been saying it, Glenn? How long?
I don't know. I can't usually get... There was a time I couldn't get close enough to hear your voice because you were so round. But if you're poor, it's because the rich is holding you down. If you're stupid, it's because the curriculum is too difficult and making you feel bad. Trump can't get anything done, you know, because they won't let him. If you're fat, it's because of the advertising. You're just powerless. What are we turning into, America? What are we turning into as human beings? If we accept this, you might as well roll up the streets of America. Call it a day for civilization. Because we are responsible. We must be responsible. We need people to stand up and accept personal responsibility. What happens in my life may be affected by outside forces, but what I do with it is my responsibility. I can either take it and build something great and learn great lessons and be a better man, or I can let it destroy me. But it's my choice. And if your media source isn't telling you those things, it is damn high time that you find a media source that will tell you those things.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
One of my favorite Texans is our Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. He has been the Attorney General here in Texas since 2015. He won the election as the state's top law enforcement guy, and he is a champion of the Tea Party movement, conservative principles. I wanted him on today because Texas is under attack. The new voter ID bill has been overturned in the Texas Supreme Court. I think it was Supreme Court. Was it not? Ken, was it Supreme Court?
No, this was a Corpus Christi district judge appointed by President Obama.
Okay. So tell me what happened. Tell me what people are fighting, what you're fighting for the state of Texas, and what happened.
So let me give you a little background. This was passed in 2011. I was in the legislature, actually in the Texas House when we passed it. The goal was to prevent fraud in elections. I know that's a controversial topic to prevent fraud, but that's what we were trying to do. And so we started requiring photo ID. We were allowed 7 different photo IDs that people could use. If you couldn't get one or you couldn't afford one, we will give you one free.
You can use all kinds of IDs, including driver's license, military IDs, concealed handgun, and then we have Texas IDs you can use. And so we've been using that successfully. There have been no cases that we know of where there's been discrimination in the elections. But despite that, this judge found our law discriminatory. And so that happened actually when Abbott was the attorney general. So we took that up to the Fifth Circuit. We drew a fairly liberal panel, and we lost. And we actually asked the whole court to hear it. We ended up losing 9-6, but the court gave us a roadmap to fixing it. They said if you'll put an affidavit in there, allow people to come in and basically swear that they couldn't get a photo ID and that they are the person they say they are, then your photo ID laws are good. So we did that. The legislature passed it. The governor signed it. And unfortunately, this judge still said it's discriminatory.
So is it true that this judge requires a photo ID to be able to get into her courtroom?
It is true. It's also true that the Fifth Circuit does as well. So almost every federal courtroom you go into, you have to show photo ID. And apparently that's not discriminatory.
Yeah. Have you asked any of them? I mean, I'd love to hear the answer to that one. How is it discriminatory?
They know. I mean, this isn't about discrimination. This is about fraud. And everybody knows that that's the issue. And if you don't have photo ID, it allows more people to vote that shouldn't be voting. And that's the battle. That's the true battle. This idea of discrimination is false because there's no evidence of it. There was no evidence in the trial record of any discrimination. The Justice Department under Obama came to Texas looking at, you know, advertising, please give us stories. Well, they couldn't find them.
So who has standing in this case? Why does anybody have standing if there's nobody who has an actual episode? Who has standing?
That's a very good question. And yet here we are with our voter ID law struck down. So this is something we are going to appeal. We believe that the Fifth Circuit will uphold it, given what they already told us and given the fact that we had the legislature change the law to satisfy them. And look, I didn't want to change the law, but it was a relatively minor change. And it'll still leave us with a really solid photo ID law and allow us to prevent fraud. But again, it'll have to go back up to the Fifth Circuit to hopefully get the right result.
Ken, I think that wasn't really actually that was an honest question. Who has standing? Who's funding this? Who is suing the state? How is this being brought to the front of the court every time?
It's just private plaintiffs who sue and claim discrimination. And again, you ask a great question, because if there is no actual harm, how can this be struck down? And the other thing you need to think about, I mean, this is a duly enacted law of the Texas legislature. I mean, this had to go through, you know, all kinds of voting and people debating, and we have a federal judge that just steps in and says, sorry, you can't do that. I'm taking over your legislature, basically.
So Ken, where are we headed?
Well, I still think we're going to be successful, because I think the Fifth Circuit gave us clear guidelines on the part that they were concerned about, and we addressed that. And if that didn't do it, then photo ID can't exist for some reason.
So Bill O'Reilly and I were just having a conversation about what's happening with the statues around the country, and we need to have an actual conversation. There, you know, if you were in the hierarchy of the Confederacy, you knew exactly what was going on. But just like we didn't have a problem with the Germans, we had a problem with the Nazis. We didn't go and try to erase all Germans. We did try to take the Nazis out. And, you know, Germany went so far as to saying you can't have any German symbols, no statues of any of these guys. No matter where they were, you're a Nazi, you're out. The Confederacy, if you read the Confederate Constitution, was not about state rights. It was about slavery, period. Those statues, like Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was the, you know, a great general. Yeah, he also started the Klan. Those things need to be talked about, and we need to find the right way to deal with our history. But we're now seeing violence and people going like it's Saddam Hussein and putting nooses around necks and pulling them down. What is the state of Texas thinking about all of this?
So, you know, we haven't had a lot of controversy about it. I know that UT took some down in the middle of the night, took some statues down. I think you've sort of hit the nail on the head. I think discussion and debate about this is a good thing rather than necessarily doing it in the middle of the night and a decision made by a few people. Because again, it is our history, bad or good, and hiding it doesn't really, I don't think is very effective. I think knowing about it, understanding it, and looking to the future and deciding, you know, what was good about our history, what was bad about our history, I think that's really the only way we can learn. If we hide it and bury it, I don't know that that really accomplishes
anything. It festers. As a Texas attorney general, can you explain to those who might be listening who think that, you know, free speech is great up until a point, that we have to defend the people's right to have abhorrent points of view? It doesn't mean that they can act on all of those things, but they have a right to say things that are despicable in our thought. In fact, those are the only kinds of, that's the only kind of speech that ever needs protecting.
You've got it. I mean, that was the foundation of our country built on the First Amendment, both religious freedom and free speech, free political speech. And, you know, if we start censoring certain people, then the question is, where does it stop? You know, you can't go into a movie theater and yell fire and create, you know, chaos and harm to people. But beyond that, I mean, we've had people die to protect people's right to say really bad, horrible things. And that's really what's made our country great. People can believe whatever they want to believe, and they can still live here.
Let me ask you this. You just said you can't go into a movie theater and cry fire. But here's Nancy Pelosi yesterday. I want to get your opinion on this.
Park Service justified denying that organization their free speech right.
Because the Constitution does not say that a person can shout, yell wolf in a crowded theater.
So we know you can't cry fire, but can you cry wolf in a crowded movie theater?
Well, I might argue you could, because I don't think people really believe there's a wolf.
Yeah, I'm going to a movie tonight.
I want you to
and
yell.
And I am going to have my wolf. Wife tape it, and I invite everybody to go into their crowded movie theater tonight and just yell wolf. And see what happens. I don't think anybody's going to beat it to the door. Maybe it's just me. Last question. How's your wife? Because I like your wife much more than I like you.
Well, that is common. I hear that commonly. She's doing great. She's actually considering a run for Texas Senate in Collin and Dallas County.
Really? When is she coming to the studio, and she has to bring her musical instrument? I think she plays a guitar, right?
Yes, she plays guitar and piano both.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll come. She'll be happy to come.
Yeah, no, I'd love to have her, because
she hasn't announced, but she may do that next week. So
really?
Maybe a good time to talk to her.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Ken, thanks so much. Thanks for your hard work, and thanks for standing up for what is right. We know you have a tough job.
Hey.
God bless.
Thank you for having me on. Have a great day.
You bet. CarShield is our sponsor this half hour. Your repair bills, always a fun experience, right? When you bring your car in and they say, hey, this is, you know, it's going to cost you $500. You think to yourself, I love this experience. I really do. New water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your air conditioner, $1,500. A new engine will cost you over $5,000. Get covered with CarShield, the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection. Affordable protection can save you thousands of dollars for your covered repair. Have your favorite mechanic do it. Have the dealership do the work. Doesn't matter, because CarShield gets the mechanic paid directly. Sign up today and you're going to get the VIP treatment, 24/7 roadside assistance, rental cars when yours is in the shop. Save yourself from all the high repair bills. Get covered by Car Shield before something goes wrong. 1-800-CAR-6100 and mention the promo code BECK or visit carshield.com. Use the promo code BECK, save 10%. Carshield.com, deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck. Want to see Glenn live? If you're coming to Texas, you can. Yay! Join us at Mercury Studios in Dallas for a taping of Glenn's TV show. To reserve a seat, email tickets at theblaze.com with your information. That's tickets at theblaze.com. Mercury.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Gary Cohn, top White House economic official, said the Trump administration must do better in condemning neo-Nazis and white supremacists following a violent protest in Charlottesville, yada, yada. He is a Jewish American who was president of Goldman Sachs before becoming the head of the White House National Economic Council. And he has, according to the Financial Times, faced really heavy pressure to quit because of Charlottesville. I want to read his statement. It is absolutely unbelievable. This administration can and must do better in consistently and unequivocally condemning these groups and do everything we can to heal the deep divisions that exist in our communities. I have come under enormous pressure both to resign and to remain in my current position. I feel compelled to voice my distress over the events of the last 2 weeks. As a patriotic American, I'm reluctant to leave my post because I feel a duty to fulfill my commitment to work on behalf of the American people. But I also feel compelled to voice my distress over the events of the last 2 weeks. Citizens standing up for equality and freedom can never be equated with white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and the KKK. As a Jewish American, I will not allow neo-Nazis ranting, "Jews will not replace us," to cause this Jew to leave his job. I feel deep empathy for all those who have been targeted by these hate groups. We must unite together against them. I think that is tremendous. And I think that's where most Americans are. Let's talk about the Nazis. Bad. We all know that. If you don't know that, you're a problem. We all stand united against the Nazis. But America also fought a longer war against the communists. The communists, they're just as bad. Their sins, their crimes are just not as well publicized. But go read the Black Book of Communism, where it details all of the atrocities of communism. They're cut from exactly the same evil cloth. One is a national socialist, one is an international communist, but it leads to the same kind of death camp. We all know this, and we all have to unequivocally and clearly denounce both sides. The problem is the left is playing footsie with the communist, and the right plays footsie with the Nazis. Stop it. Denounce them clearly the first time and every time on both sides. And then can we just go back to work and do the things that we're supposed to be doing? I mean, we are not divided on this. I just don't understand this. We are not divided on this hate. We are not divided on, Jews must die. No, you need to sit down. You're a problem. And we're united on that. And everybody who is in the media or in politics that is trying to separate us on those things, we are against the shutting down, the burning down of campuses or, businesses because somebody wants to go speak at a university and a communist doesn't like it. Sorry, we're against you. You believe in black supremacy or white supremacy? Sorry, we're against you. If you believe in brown supremacy, white supremacy, black supremacy, if you believe
in an organization called The Race. I denounce you. That, by the way, is called La Raza. Supremacy of one color over another is ancient history, and it belongs there. And don't let it come crawling back out from its filth. Shove it back into the corners where it belongs. It belongs in that cage of hatred and away from all Americans. We are
one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Well, very glad that you are here today.
Thank you.
I'm a little concerned. I am going to the movie theater tonight, and I hope nobody does this. Nancy Pelosi has just come out yesterday and said another thing, that you can't cry in a crowded movie theater.
Park Service justified denying that organization their free speech rights.
Because the Constitution does not say that a person can shout, yell wolf in a crowded theater.
So you can't shout or yell wolf in a crowded theater.
Now, if I speak wolf loudly...
That's almost like shouting.
Because right, I'm going to go to the movie tonight, like, and my wife film it, just to see what happens, the panic that ensues. And
you can be held responsible.
I know, but I think... and I'd like you to join me in this effort over the weekend. If you go to a movie, or if you're in a packed anything, I just want you to stand up at one point and cry wolf.
My kids are gonna love this.
And please, you know, Facebook post them, so send them to us so we can see them. Get them to our attention, tweet them, and make sure you hashtag
Cry Wolf.
Cry Wolf.
What if you go to a movie that they're like Little Red Riding Hood, right? What if you go to a movie that has a threatening animal?
Well, can I just say something? Yelling fire in a crowded movie house is not really speech. That's not freedom of speech. When they say there's a limit on freedom of speech, that's not really speech.
It's also appropriate if there is, in fact, a fire in the crowded movie theater.
But hang on just a second. The reason why you can't do that is a warning. That's not speech. That's a warning.
Yeah.
So if you go to the Wall and there happens to be a fire alarm, you also will be arrested for pulling the fire alarm because you can't do that. It's a warning. It has nothing to do with speech. Well, you just can't say anything. You can't. Well, no, there's a fire alarm. If I see the fire alarm, I can't pull that either. It's not a speech issue. It's a warning issue. You can't pull a fire alarm. Now, I don't know if you can pull the wolf alarm. I don't know.
Only about 10% of U.S. theaters have a wolf alarm. That's a stat that a lot of people don't know.
Unconscionable in 2017.
I probably listen to that wolf warning. You know, somebody stands up and says in a dark movie theater, they're just like, wolf! I probably listen to them. I might even get up.
What if you yell, coyote! Or
no.
Fox!
No, it's totally... No,
nobody's scared of
wolf. Nobody's scared of that.
It's wolf.
I will say, by the way, if you happen to be watching though. Wonder Woman, Glenn, this weekend with Wolf Blitzer in the theater, you really can... I mean, because that... I don't know if it's better or worse to yell wolf in that situation.
So, have you seen...
Because it'll be more accurate, but it would be very annoying to him.
Speaking... It could be just a greeting.
Wolf! He actually hears it all the time. Every time he goes to a theater, people yell wolf in the theater.
Do you have the right in Congress, in a crowded congressional setting, if Wolf Blitzer comes in, do I have a free speech right to say, wolf!
No, you have to say
CNN's going to have to take
Blitzer,
him off the air.
So there's Blitzer. No confusion there.
What happens if you're in a crowded North Pole, you know, toy center? and you're saying Blitzer.
Well, then that's okay too, because the name Blitzen. Of the the reindeer is Blitzen.
I don't speak North Korean. I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
You know, the other thing is, why is nobody talking about her fitness for office? I mean, she has been so confused often and said such ridiculous things, and nobody says, hey, you know, maybe Nancy Pelosi, something's wrong there. Because seriously, maybe something's a little bit wrong there.
Yeah, you're talking about...
They're calling Trump's sanity into question, but not... Nancy Pelosi?
Now, one would say that if one was doing a show earlier this week and we told the history of why we shouldn't diagnose people, that we probably should.
But that was for psychiatrists. We're not psychiatrists.
No, we are not. Okay. All right. Okay.
No, and it's true. And I will say, too, Nancy Pelosi, like, you look back at those early Trump interviews from, like, the 80s, I mean, he's a different person. Like, he has a different way of speaking. He doesn't
actually have all the best words.
Yeah.
At that point, he's much more logical in the way he presents himself.
Pelosi's always been nuts, right? I mean, I don't think there's ever been a conversion going on here.
Yeah. Speaking of people who have always been nuts, James Cameron. James Cameron on Wonder Woman, all of the self-congratulatory backpatting Hollywood's been doing over Wonder Woman has been so misguided. She's an objectified icon, and she's just made male Hollywood do the same thing. I'm not saying I didn't like the movie, but to me it's a step backwards. Sarah Connor was not a beauty icon. She was strong. She was troubled. She was a terrible mother, and she earned the respect of the audience through pure grit. And to me, the benefit of the characters like Sarah is so obvious. I mean, half the audience is female. So, James, you never had her in, like, a tank top or her underpants, her or Sigourney Weaver, strangely, that we didn't want to see in a tank top and underpants. They were always fully clothed. And by the way, if Wonder Woman is objectifying a woman, how do we feel about, I don't know, Thor? How do we feel about...
how do you feel about this show?
Captain America.
You know, I mean, the Glenn Beck program. I mean, it's nothing but a bunch of women objectifying us all the time. You know, I mean, that's really the real reason they are here.
I will say it
disgusts me. But what am I supposed to do? Make myself ugly? Make myself unattractive? It's not possible.
Wolf! I have no way out of that.
But you're right. Of course, people like attractive people.
Yes,
like
I mean, that's what the movies do. Yes. They do it for male and female. Mm-hmm. Please don't tell me that Mel Gibson, that Richard Gere, that, you know, even Chris, what's his name, that plays in Galaxy, Guardian of the Galaxy.
Chris Pratt.
You're telling me that women aren't objectifying them?
Have you ever seen the Twilight series? Taylor Lautner is mostly naked most of the time.
I know.
I mean...
It's how people feel about Jeffy.
You just have to live with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know.
What are you going to do?
Jeffy, would you please put your shirt back on? Please?
Making us all uncomfortable.
Fine.
I mean... He heard Wolf, and he was like, I got to take off my shirt. That's right. I take off my shirt, and strangely, just like the Hulk, my pants can stay on, and the waist, the calves are all broken and ripped apart, but my waistline stays exactly the same.
Can we utilize a somewhat annoying internet term here, which is virtue signaling? Like... Is there any chance James Cameron believes a word he just said?
Not a chance.
Telling everyone else how enlightened he is. It's buying a Prius, right?
No.
It's not about actually caring about the environment. It's telling everyone that you're signaling to them that I care about the environment.
Oh, and I think he actually believes it. I think you get to a point to where you've been surrounded by sycophants and you've made so much money, et cetera, that everybody just keeps telling you how wonderful you are, you start buying your own crap.
Can
you
I
just
make a couple of points about him, too? Since when is making a woman out to be a terrible mother a step forward for women? One of the things he brags about is that Sarah Connor was a terrible mother. And that's a good thing? Right. Plus, is this not the guy who did Titanic and we saw Kate Winslet pose naked for a portrait? That's not objectifying women?
No, but there was no hot bodies in Avatar.
No. But that's, they paid for that. They all went down in the sea. They all
not her. Anybody, she's the only one who didn't pay for it.
Lived.
She didn't because the rest of them were objectifying her. She made it strangely on
she was
a
doing
bed.
Art, and the rest, she,
the rest were doing sex.
Right, well, she was hooking up with Leo, where she left her.
She's a woman. She can do that. She's powerful.
So it doesn't matter that she's cheating on her fiance.
She's a powerful
or whatever.
Woman. She was her fiance oppressing her. You saw it. I saw it. We all saw it.
It didn't seem like
oppressed.
A good guy, but
oppressed.
She seemed to be in first class and have a pretty good life.
What do you think a guy gives you the heart of the sea? He gives you that. He gives you a stone like that because he's not oppressing you. Come on, hello.
Yeah, he expects something in return.
That's right. Like a painting of you naked on the couch. That's what he was looking for. I think. I don't know. I'm not an oppressor.
Well, this is. Of course, and this is every Hollywood person with the gun thing too. They all sit here and whine about how bad guns are, and then you look at all of their movies, and it's nonstop guns. And for them, it's okay because they know the truth about the evil.
It is
hits.
The progressive. It is really. It's the progressive, communist, Nazi, dictator, totalitarian. You know, religious dictator. It's all of them. I know better. I can do this because I know better. But it's the little people. They're just too stupid and they shouldn't do this. But it's okay for me to do it. I got to do it.
And that's a perfect example of why it's so frustrating to connect all the nonsense in Charlottesville with the right. If you are a conservative in the American sense, the one thing you stand up more than anything is individual freedom. And the idea that everybody in Washington doesn't know better than you. You should be able to make your own choices. You should be able to live your own lives. You should not be controlled in every aspect of your life by the government. We are pretty clear that Adolf really liked control of that country. I mean, he was into it.
You think he was a big government guy?
I think he was a big government guy. I don't remember a lot of freedoms in that particular regime.
I thought he was a libertarian Nazi. No?
Well, no, I don't.
Hang on just a second.
Hang
on just
a thing.
Second. Hang on just a second. Okay, yes. One of the first things he did was make universal health care. Okay, yes.
Sure.
He did do that.
And they support that as well.
Right.
Now.
But a big government guy?
I know it's a weird thing to think about, but yes.
Because I often think of Adolf Hitler as a guy who wanted the government so small that the people had power over it.
He wanted the government so big that when people didn't raise their arm to salute them, he murdered them. And no one got punished because it was actually advocated.
I can see the way you interpret all of the films and evidence in that way. But I'm feeling a little oppressed by your point of view on this.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Racist. Now this, peace of mind. Wolf! Simply Safe. Peace of mind is not always easy to come by. When it comes to your family's safety at home, Simply Safe is going to make it easy. Simply Safe Home Security extended their biggest ever summer sale to September 3rd. It's $100 off the Simply Safe Summer Package. It has everything you need to keep your home safe from intruders, and it has around-the-clock monitoring for $14.99 a month. That's $15 a month. No long-term contract. Nothing to lock you in. It is protection done right. Don't miss out. Offer ends September 3rd. SimplySafeBeck.com. Save $100 today. SimplySafeBeck.com. Go there now.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
We ask for prayers for the people in the Gulf region who I guess the hurricane is starting to come ashore. It looks like it's coming ashore now in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's at the seawall. Could be bad, especially if it goes back out into the Gulf, which they're expecting. And then it could hit Galveston, could hit New Orleans. New Orleans is not...
bounce along the coast. Yeah. That'll get ugly.
You know what the most dangerous city in America is now besides New Orleans? I've been reading about Tampa, Florida.
Wow.
They say that Tampa, Florida, if it is ever hit with a direct hit on the hurricane, which is hard for the hurricane to come in and make that circle. But if it does, they say it will be a devastating, devastating hurricane.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's dangerous now after Jeffy left. I always thought it was the most dangerous city when
when he was there, you know, it pushed that whole that whole western seaside it pushed it down there in Florida.
It almost capsized, which wasn't
that Florida was held on by the entire continent.
Right,
the whole thing would have flipped. All of Florida would have flipped.
Oh, you're gonna Hank Johnson on that immediately.
Isn't that funny?
It is kind of funny. Well, because what we're saying, I guess the joke there, Pat, is that Jeffy's
fat. I think
overweight.
Overweight. I thought he was just fat.
Yeah, he is.
But so you're gonna see all weekend claims from the Al Gores of the world showing how this hurricane after 12 years with no hurricanes proves him right.
Okay. So ridiculous. And you know you'll hear that.
Oh, of course. I mean, sure, it's already started.
There's going to be more frequent and more intense hurricanes. And we've seen just exactly the opposite.
Exactly the opposite.
Record-setting period of a lack of hurricanes.
Yep. So there hasn't been one since 2005, a major hurricane. And so
there's barely been any non-major hurricanes.
Yeah, I mean, it really hasn't. Even Hurricane Sandy, which was a hurricane at one point, but was not when it actually made landfall, which is kind of an important part of that story, which is why they kept calling it Superstorm. They're like, it's a superstorm. Well, look, there was a lot of flooding, and that's the real danger here. There's going to be obviously high winds, but the flooding looks like it could be really, really bad. So if you're in the path,
are they saying 36 inches of rain in the next
some areas? Yeah,
36 inches of rain.
Yeah. On my Facebook page, by the way, Glenn, is the disproving of Al Gore's claim from his movie about hurricanes. As you're hearing this weekend, it might be a fun view and maybe a share.
And I believe I've posted it on Glenn Beck at facebook.com/Glenn Beck and at glennbeck.com as well. So make sure you share that with some friends as the media goes crazy on global warming.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.